It's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every weekend we're here and we're doing life together, and we're so glad that you've joined us.
It's June.
I know. Isn't that wild?
Which means lots of weddings coming up, and you have a major announcement.
Well, I do. There's no weddings or babies or anything of that magnitude, but it is my husband's birthday. We'd like to begin by saying happy birthday, Norm. Norm sometimes fills in when you take off, so we appreciate him when he comes in just to help us out. I have to say, your hair looks blonde.
See, we talked about this before the show, and Dr. Linda asked me, she said, Chris, did you have your hair dyed? And I was aghast.
It looks totally like a different color.
It's a phenomenon that takes place when I get it cut short.
Okay, we need our social media director to take a picture of that and put it on Instagram so people can judge. You can ask whether or not it looks different or not. It looks totally blonde to me, like you dyed your hair.
It's usually blonde, but when it's longer, it gets darker. When it's short, it's more blonde.
At least that's the story you're sticking
with, right? Did I dye it?
Well, listen, do you worry about getting older or anything like that?
I really don't.
Do you worry at all?
Oh, yeah. Worry about all kinds of things, but no, not getting older. Now, Dr. Norm may be worried about getting older, but no, I do not worry about that.
What's your greatest worry?
I think work-related stuff, because certain things depend on you. So I put a lot of pressure on myself about getting work stuff done.
Okay.
But people, family, those types of things, no, I don't fret over that.
You don't worry about that?
No.
Okay, that is a common one for a lot of people. One of our producers looked up some funny things on the website, and here's the funny things that people worry about. They worry about things they write.
A Facebook post?
I don't know. Now everything is so public. If you write something, it could last forever and go to places you don't want it to go.
That has to be that. I suppose you could put a letter in an envelope and mail it and then go.
Who does that? Who does that?
Right.
Who mails anything anymore?
You write it, it's too late, it's in the mail, and you go, oh, I shouldn't have said that. And then.
Well, maybe that's it.
Maybe so, right.
And what about the right thing to wear? And women worry about that. I don't know, do men worry about that as much?
Yes. They won't tell you they do, but yeah.
How about whether or not to wear makeup? I would worry if I went out without makeup.
See, my wife is like that. She will not go anywhere like that.
At least a mascara so you can see that I have eyes. That's my concern. Or here's one, split ends, if they're noticeable in your hair.
Well, see, that's why I had my hair cut.
How about leaving the coffee maker on?
Yes, uh-huh.
We used to have a pot that would automatically turn off after so much time. That was a really good investment. Here's one, fluid levels in my car. Do you worry about the fluid levels in your car?
Yeah.
I guess that's the oil and transmission
stuff. Well, we've got a couple of cars now that are past the warranty phase. Yeah, we do try to pay more attention to that, yes.
Well, here are some serious things. People worry about what someone thinks about them and maybe what other people are doing and what they think about what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people worry about mistakes and things that can go wrong. That's what you were kind of saying about work. If you're going to make a mistake, you're going to do something that's not quite right. A lot of people worry about things like their health, about job concerns, relationships, family issues. A lot of kids worry about whether or not the world's going to be safe. Isn't that kind of sad?
I've got lots of educators in my family. And they talk more and more about that.
I know.
They have kids who apparently may have watched the news the night before, and they come up and say, do I need to worry about this?
That's one of the reasons why you need to be careful about showing young kids a lot of news stories, because it is scary. They don't understand that isn't happening right next door to them or to their house or whatever.
Speaking of your book, which is Letting Go of Worry, what motivated you to write the book?
I usually write books about some area that I have some kind of clinical expertise or a topic that interests me personally, because of my own struggles. And this was one of those books that I really wanted to write to help myself as well, because I come from a long line of worriers. I grew up in a Christian home. I want to put that out there. But still, after the death of my brother, my mom got very worried every time we'd travel or go someplace, or she'd worry about a lot of different things. And when you grow up with that, you tend to take that on as well. For years, I would work with people in therapy on how to manage worry and to not let it overcome them. Like when worry becomes anxiety, then people get very consumed by it. What I realized after I read the scriptures, and it was really clear to me, that God doesn't want us to worry. He wants us to be anxious about nothing, is what scripture says, and to live in the peace that he gives. I had to do better, Chris, than just managing my worry. I had to really let it go.
Right. It seems like such a natural thing to do, and it's such a natural part of life. Doesn't everyone worry?
It seems like it, doesn't it? But yet, when you read scripture, when you read in Matthew where Jesus says, you are not to worry about a thing, and he says, don't be anxious about anything. My whole thing was, would he give us that command and then say, well, good luck with that? Hope you can do it.
Yeah, really.
You know? I don't think so. There is a ton of stuff that we can worry about in our life. If we focus on all the circumstances around us that could go wrong, we could be flooded every day.
And you believe it is possible to live a worry-free life. How did you come to that?
I had to look at the scripture, and I had to keep looking at all those verses about contentment, about peace, about do not be anxious. And I felt like if God is in my life, then there has to be a way to do this. There actually is a formula that scripture gives us. What I love about the Bible is it's often so prescriptive for these things like worry and anxiety that we all face. I really do believe that as we look at this in more depth, that we're all going to see that it is possible to let go of worry, not just manage it.
Right. You say there's a difference between worry and concern. What is the difference?
This is a very important distinction to make, because I don't want us to think that we should never be concerned about anything we see. If we see a teenager going down the wrong path, of course we're going to be concerned about that child. Or if we see downsizing at our workplace, we're going to be concerned that maybe we might lose our job. But there's a difference, and this is the difference. Worry is always future focused. It's that what if,
right?
What if, and usually the future is negative. We're not worried about things that could be positive in our future. We're usually worried about what could happen that's negative. But concern is about what's happening now. And a concern allows for something good to come and a positive outcome. So that's two different things right there. I like to tell people that worry circles a problem and concern solves it.
So if you are worrying about a kid that runs out in front of a bus,
yes,
you've got some priority issues.
Yes, you do.
Right.
And worry brings in action. When you're worrying, you're really not doing anything. And then worry feels very out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And concern prompts us to do something to try to take control where we can take control. Worry distracts us from the problems, and concern really focuses us on what is the problem. And then I would also say that worry disrupts our planning, but concern motivates us to say, okay, this is a problem. Now, what are we going to do about it? I think concern is fine as long as it doesn't morph into a type of worry or anxiety that's going to start gripping you.
Right. As believers, why do we get worrisome when we know that is not what God has for us?
If we think about it, why do we hang on to any bad habit? Part of that reason is that it serves a purpose. We usually keep doing something, even if it's unhealthy for us, because we believe it serves a purpose, or we just wouldn't do it. What is at the root of this is many of us falsely believe that worry is somehow useful. I remember I heard an elderly lady once tell me, well, I have to worry about my grandchild because then somehow that's going to make things better.
She's got concern and worry.
Yeah.
Confused.
And she was thinking that if I worry about her, then somehow it shows her that I care. I want to suggest that there are lots of other ways to show that you care rather than doing something like that. Here's what worry usually does. Sometimes we worry because we really believe that it's going to stop something bad from happening. But does that ever work?
No. I've been told before, when I worry about something, people who have wisdom always say, your problem is at work. You're at home. It's 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Worrying is not going to fix it.
Right. Somehow we believe that if we worry about it, it's going to stop something bad. We also sometimes worry because we want to be prepared for the worst outcome.
Right.
That was one of the things my mom used to do because of the tragedy that happened in our family and that sudden loss. She started to worry because then she thought, well, then I'll be prepared. So it was kind of a control issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes by worrying, we feel like we're doing something.
Right.
If you think about it, if you believe that worry serves a purpose in your life and it has some kind of helpful function, you're going to hang on to it. The first step in letting go of worry is to believe that worry is useless, which is why God says, get rid of it.
If we, in our minds, don't see worry as useful, Does that help us let it go?
I think you have to get to that point. And when we look at the research between men and women, we're going to see that if you can believe that worry has no purpose in your life, mm-hmm. that's the first step to letting it go.
Right. Well, it seems like some people are more prone to worry. Let's talk about that after the break. Stay with us more with the Dr. Linda Mental Show as we discuss her book, Letting Go of Worry, when we return. So you don't tweet and you don't post? No problem. Check out the Relationship Doctor, Dr. Linda Mental, on MyFaithRadio.com.
Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder, what is normal and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. Winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World will give you this confidence, the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com. And available online where books are sold.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today's topic, letting go of worry. And Dr. Linda, before the break, I asked you if some people are more prone to worry than others.
Do you think so? Do you know people we call worry wards?
Oh, definitely.
That actually is true. This is an interesting finding. A few years ago, there was a Yale researcher who found a worry gene. What the worry gene predicts is that some people have this tendency to ruminate, going over and over the same thing. Do you know people like that?
Well, it's funny, is my wife's uncle has a word for that. He calls it being curious. He'll park his truck and then he'll move back out and park it again. He's like, I'm sorry, I'm just being curious about this.
I have a tendency to do that. If something really bothers me,
right,
I have a tendency to talk about it over and over. So I'm kind of wondering if I inherited that worry gene.
Yeah.
Comes down our family naturally, maybe.
You're being curious.
Yeah, being curious. I'm going to use that as a reframe.
Right.
If you are more predisposed, then when you add to it life circumstances, some negative experiences, some trauma, then if you have that gene, you're just primed to be that worrier. If you look at the histories of chronic worriers, you often find that there's loss or some negative events or some kind of time in their life when they felt out of control. And those are the conditions that usually breed worry. When we feel out of control,
right,
that's the times in our life when we start to really focus on worry a lot more.
Well, definitely. And I'd mentioned that in the first segment that I worry about work the most.
Yeah.
And when I feel like there are things coming that I have no control of, that's when I tend to stay awake and think about it too much.
The thing we need to recognize is even if we are predisposed to worry more than somebody else, we still have control over that.
Right.
God doesn't say, ooh, yeah, you have the worry gene, don't worry about it. He says instead, we got to work on this and we got to work on letting go of that worry.
Maybe I don't want to go here, but we will. Let's break this down.
Never stopped you before.
Let's talk about the differences in gender here. Don't mean to be sexist, but it seems that women tend to worry more than men. Is that true? And if so, why?
It is true. When you look at the research, women do tend to worry more than men. Some of the reasons for this are cultural. Worry is seen much more as a feminist trait. If you think about how people are portrayed in movies,
right,
it's usually the woman who's doing the worrying. It's a little bit more acceptable for women to worry. And women do tend to use worry as an internal mechanism to cope as well. Whereas a guy might go hit a golf ball or something or go out and take out their worry that way, women tend to be more internal in general. We obsess on our thoughts a little bit more. We think about our feelings a little bit more. Overall, women struggle with self-confidence more than men do. If you think about that, self-confidence is a factor in worry. There are some cultural differences.
But that would be why after we've already discussed this, two or three days later, your wife will come back and say it again. And the man says, wait a minute, we've dealt with this.
And that happens a lot with couples. I think it's more that we're taught more to worry and be more internal and to be the ones who are worrying about what's going on in our families, how things are going to go. Men tend to cope more by distraction. That's right. What we were saying.
Yes.
That men tend to do more distracting, and they like to focus their thoughts away from the worry. Norm and I have this conversation all the time where he'll say to me, talking about it again just makes me relive it again.
Mm-hmm,
like,
right.
Why do I want to do that? He preferred to distract, and mm-hmm. I prefer to keep focusing on it.
Right.
It's very different. And there is this research that shows that men do this fight or flight approach to problems, and
right.
women tend to take care of each other's and sort of befriend the problem. Mm. We have a very different way of dealing with worry and concern.
That's why you stereotypically hear the wife say, don't walk out of here.
That's right. We're still talking about this because we haven't finished it yet.
Right. Speaking of men and women, do we worry about different things?
Remember we talked about if you believe worry has a purpose for you,
mm-hmm.
then men worry just as much as women. If you hold that belief, you're going to be just like women in terms of worrying. Most men don't think worry serves a whole lot of purpose.
Right.
But both genders worry about the future. Both genders worry about our relationships. And then both genders worry about competency at work.
Well, talk to us about some of the physical fallout concerned with worry. I know it can't be good.
I think this is why God tells us not to do it, because he created us. He knows our bodies. He knows how we're made. And that when we worry, a lot of bad things can happen in our physical bodies. When we worry, we tend to release a lot of stress hormones.
Right.
And then those do damage to the body. Worry can cause what we call cardiac activation, where you're revving up the heart, regardless of whether or not the worry pans out. Just the fact of worrying can start creating some cardiac issues in your body, and then the stress hormones are high. And then high levels of worry can increase coronary heart disease overall, and that can lead to unhealthy habits that can bring early death. Worriers tend to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Smokers think that smoking calms them down. Smoking does the opposite. Smoking tends to make you more anxious. When you get a cigarette, you're satisfying the drug craving. You're not really calming yourself down. For a moment, the craving stops, so they think they're less anxious. In studies, smokers are more anxious than non-smokers.
Wow.
Got to be really careful on the physical effects of worry to our body.
You offer a number of practical helps to combat worry in key areas like health, your job, and relationships. So let's start with that one. Let's talk about health.
We've got to find a balance, like we talked about, of being just too relaxed about our bodies where we're not really taking care of our bodies, because that can be bad if we're just not watching how we eat, we're not taking care of ourselves with good sleep and good exercise, that kind of thing. And then we can get on the other end where we're obsessed with those things and we're worried about every possible thing could go wrong. There is a psychiatric diagnosis called illness anxiety disorder. And in that diagnosis, people believe that there must be something wrong with them. It's what we used to call hypochondriacs.
I was about to ask you, what is the difference between that and hypochondria?
Yeah, it's the old term for that. You know, it's funny, I teach at a medical school, and when we're introducing all the new diseases to the students, what do you think happens?
They all get sick.
They're all thinking, I've got that. Look at this mold. There must be something wrong with that mold. They're starting to worry because they're getting more information about that. We have to be really careful that we don't get out of balance.
Well, a lot of people worry about jobs. And what are some practical helps for that?
I think you need to know the signs of job stress, because job stress is real. When you have low morale, you start to get apathetic, and then you get negative and cynical. You could be bored or anxious or tired or frustrated. All those things are signs that you've got job stress going on. You really have to start determining, what's the source of my worry? Is it that I'm a bad fit with this job? Is it the difficult people that I work with? Do I have poor working conditions? Is that what's creating problems? Is there some way I can reduce stress? Leave your work at work. That's one of the key issues here. And I think also a lot of people have a lot of clutter at work and are not organized. Sometimes just organizing your workspace or figuring out a way to make things more organized, whether that's creating a new system or a way to interact with other people, that can really help. And then we all have this tendency to some degree or another to want to be perfect in our jobs. If we have to let go of that expectation that somehow we're going to be perfect.
Right.
Laugh a lot.
Yeah,
that helps with worry. And then find supportive people. When you get around a bunch of negative people at work and they're all complaining, you start to go, yeah, this is bad. They start to worry even more. Get around some positive people.
Before we go to the break, let's touch on this: financial worries.
Yeah,
in your
worries.
Book, Letting Go of Worry, you say that if you're employed and make more than $60,000 a year, you worry less than people who make less money.
Well, doesn't that make sense? If you have more money, you're not going to worry as much about money.
Right.
That's an issue. But there are a lot of people who make plenty of money and they're spending too much and they're getting themselves in debt. One of the ways you get into financial worries is by creating debt.
Right.
Number one, if you're struggling with debt, get a financial planner or somebody that can help you, a budget counselor who can sit down with you. I think we also have to pay attention to our impulse buying. And there's a lot of prompts for that on the internet and advertisements. Don't buy for the wrong reasons. Don't buy to feel powerful or to keep up with your neighbor. Don't live on credit. I'm not a financial person, but I've heard enough of those people talk.
Right.
And getting into debt is really the way to create a lot of financial worry in your life.
Right.
Work on your spending habits.
Well, this is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and we're talking about letting go of worry today. Stay with us as we continue to discuss more of Dr. Linda's book, Letting Go of Worry, and how your relationship with God is key to keeping worry off of your front door. We'll be right back.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
Is every spare minute of your life filled with some activity, event, or demand? If so, you could be suffering from a very common American disease. It's called overcommitment, and it has seeped into every area of our lives. I'm Dr. Linda, the relationship doctor, and yes, I'll admit it, I've fallen prey to overcommitment in my life just like I imagine you have. Saying no occasionally is the best defense against overcommitment. But if it's too late and you're already overcommitted, here's a little tip to help you make it through. In the busiest days, you can still stop and take five just for yourself. When your heart is racing and your thoughts are whirling inside your head, your effectiveness just plummets. But if you'll pause right in the middle of all the hubbub, maybe close your eyes, breathe deeply, and remind yourself that the current task will be completed, you'll feel an immediate sense of relief. Then you can head back into the job at hand with renewed focus and energy. And when the next chance comes to overcommit, it comes your way, you can work on your priorities by just saying, hey, no.
To check out Dr. Linda's books on weight control, Lose It for Life, Press Pause Before You Eat, Breaking Free from Compulsive Overeating, and Raising Healthy Kids, go to drlindamental.com. Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Today we are on a quest to send worry packing. We're told over and over in the scriptures to not worry. And Dr. Linda, does it simply work to just not think about worried thoughts?
I think that's what most of us try to do. We just try to tell ourselves, don't think about that. But it really doesn't work. Because what happens is when you try to suppress a thought, it leads to thinking more about that thought. Mm-hmm. Even when you try not to think about worry, you try to distract yourself. Whatever thought you are using to distract yourself becomes paired with that worried thought. And then it becomes even more of a problem.
It's like telling yourself during a diet that you're not hungry.
Yeah. And then you're going to think more about it.
Right.
When it comes to worry, you need to let the thought come. And this is related to the scripture that tells us to take every thought captive and how we need to address this. Let the thought come, identify it as a worried thought, and think about what a more reasonable thought would be based on what God says in His Word. For instance, if I'm thinking, well, I'm really worried about my marriage. Let's say I'm having that thought. Instead of saying, that's real, that thought is in there, but what does God say? God says He's going to be with me. God says He's in our marriage because we're both Christians. He's in us and He's working for us. He's on our side. He's fighting our battles with us. Anything that you can take from Scripture and plug it in there to counter that worried thought is a good thing. That's how you take a thought captive. You see it, you grab it, you say, this is not a true thought. I'm going to replace it with what's true, which is God's word. As soon as you begin to do that, you can begin to change those negative patterns over and over. Now, you have to be intentional about that and do it over and over. And then what happens over time is you learn very quickly to acknowledge the worried thought and then let it go.
At that point, can it become a concern?
It can. And then you can say, I've got things I've got to work on in this area, but I'm not going to let it take over me and make me anxious.
Mm-hmm. Well, today we've unpackaged worry on this program. So now everyone says, okay, how do I achieve contentment? What's the secret?
Contentment is really learning how to keep those worried thoughts at bay and to replace them with God's word. It's a learned thing that you have to practice, but you do it by placing your confidence in God's sovereignty and his timing. I'm not going to worry about a lot of things because I know God's in control. Mm-hmm. He's got my back. He's got the perfect timing for things. I can think of so many times when I was worried about something because I don't have the big picture.
Right.
But God does.
Definitely.
It really comes down to trusting God. I was thinking about Paul when he was in prison and he was facing possible execution. And he writes at that moment, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Mm. This doesn't mean that he was, yeah, great, I'm in prison, I'm going to get killed. But he's in there going, wait a minute, God has me. I trust him. I have confidence in whatever he's doing in my life. And even if it means my life ends, I'm going to trust God because I'm going to rejoice in who God is.
Right. There's a verse in Proverbs 3:5 that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That one word, we go over it like it's nothing, but all.
All.
As soon as you let in just a little bit of worry, you're back to where you were again. You have to give it all to God.
And I love the rest of that verse, lean not on your own understanding.
Right.
Because when we lean on our own understanding, which is so finite, that's right. When worry comes in.
And don't lean on it because it's broken.
Right.
It's going to make it worse.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Paul had to learn to be content in every situation. And that's what he talks about in Philippians 4:11-13. Mm-hmm. This includes several trials. Sometimes his life was at stake. But he writes, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Well, that's a pretty good God to trust in. Someone
right,
who can
yeah.
raise the dead. No other God can do that.
Right.
He on whom we have set our hope. So we trust the one on whom we have set our hope. Contentment comes by believing God is who he says he is and will do what he says he do. When you believe that God supplies all your needs and that he orders your steps, he has your back, you can be content at any moment. Contentment comes from completely depending and leaning on God for everything and daily renewing your mind in his truth.
Right.
So that's all the time we have for today. I hope we helped you with some good thoughts on how to let go of worry. Many thanks to our producer, Katie Reshetko, our engineer, Caleb Carpenter, our post-producer, Chris Underation. And thanks, of course, to my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.